One of the blessings of a clogged up and messed up throat is I could sing bass there. All right, turn with me, please, to Psalm 50, which is our meditation psalm today. And we note that this is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of the leaders for a time of one of the Levitical choirs at the temple. And so this was doubtful, written for use in the temple. How appropriate for us, who are the living stones that make up the New Testament temple. So we begin here. The Mighty One, God, Jehovah, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's sons. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. All right, the picture we have here is that of a great convocation, a great assembly of all the people of God. Now, these are all who are God's by profession. They belong to him. They have been, at least in the day when this was written, the men, the boys, have all been circumcised. Upon them has been placed the sign of the covenant. And they are bound to God and he to them, at least outwardly. Sadly, there are those who are not in heart circumcised, as well as those who are. Now, God here is seeking praise, and he has moved through his Holy Spirit Asaph to speak of how God is worthy of our praise. From all eternity, there has always been a loving relationship between the three persons of the Godhead. I was recently reading from some convert from Mohammedanism who said that one of the things that convinced him of the Trinity as opposed to the Unitarian understanding or misunderstanding of God in the Mohammedan world is that with the Trinity, there is an eternity of love. It's not something that God had to create. It has been there always in the loving, perfected fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in one God. And so we see God here showing forth and seeking to show forth His glory. Now, when we glorify Him, how do we do so? Well, by praise, praise from the heart. And Asaph was moved to write about this. Now, let's make something clear. I was just teaching a lesson to two teenage girls this past week, nieces of mine, about our first catechism question. And what is it to glorify God? What does that mean? Does that mean that we make Him even more glorious than He is? You know, you might take something, children, you might take a picture that you have drawn with crayons and you've done a nice job, but you want to make it look even more cool. So you get a little bit of Elmer's glue and you outline the things that you've drawn, and then you put glitter on it or something of the sort to make it look even more wonderful. And, of course, Mom exclaims over it and everything. Can we make God more glorious? Well, not really. It's about as, we can do that about as well as taking a 5-gallon bucket, filling it to the rim, and then getting another gallon of water and trying to put it in there. It's a full bucket already. God is all glorious. So how can we glorify Him? By showing it forth and by praising it and enjoying it and giving thanks to God that He has taken such miserable, wretched, filthy sinners as we are to Himself in love. That is how we glorify Him. Now, there have always been people in the Old Testament and the New that thought that somehow going through outward ceremonies alone was good enough for God. That's what He wants. That's what the pagan gods wanted. That's what Jehovah wants. No, that's not the case at all. What God demands is love from us. Now, we can't say, well, I already love God, so I don't need to kill this bull or this goat or this sheep or anything like that. No. God has said for His old covenant people that these sacrifices were necessary. Not because somehow He was hungry. The pagan gods would get that way. Not because He was thirsty. No, the pagan gods got that way. No, it is that they were to be offered from faith in the coming Redeemer, the coming Christ, the blood of the animals. And their cut-up bodies were a picture of Jesus being sacrificed for us. And when they were brought in that sense, they were fully acceptable. But many of these people didn't see this. Many of these people didn't understand this. They thought God was like some of these other pagan gods that they knew about, that their neighbors worshipped, whatever. And so they just went through the form. And they did it with a lot of enthusiasm, apparently. This is why God says, I'll not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before Me. It's happening all the time. Outwardly, they're doing well, but then He goes on to say, I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, there in verse 9. For every beast of the forest is Mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And children, I want to make something really clear. That does not mean that on Hill 1001, the cattle that are there don't belong to God. This means everywhere. Everywhere. Everything belongs to God. So we cannot give to Him that which is not His own already. Now, the sad thing is, these people who were not having faith in Jesus, who were not seeing that the offerings and the sacrifices were to point to Jesus, these went on in a wicked life. They thought, well, if I feed God, if I take care of Him so He's not thirsty, I can go ahead and do all kinds of other things, and it's just fine. And so God has moved Asaph to talk about how these folks messed up the seventh and the eighth and the ninth commandments. In the seventh, we see him, God speaking here of being a partaker with adulterers in verse 18. The eighth, you saw a thief, you consented with him, there in verse 8. And the ninth commandment, and you children will remember this as well as you adults, it's where we're told not to lie about others, not to bear false witness. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's sons. So these were the sins that these people who were fake, who were false, who only had an outward profession, who were only circumcised in body but not in heart, made. No, but what God wants is the sacrifice of praise. That is, yielding praise and love to him, rejoicing to know him, rejoicing to serve him, because we have new hearts given to us by the Spirit who applies to us the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the little bit of application here is, what's your religion all about? Is it just going through forms? Just doing things outwardly so that somehow you will build up kingdom points? Well, that won't do. That won't do. What you must have and what you must know and what you must do is know Jesus, trust Jesus, believe on Jesus, depend on him, and through him give God praise and thanks and delight in your God. Well, let's sing from Psalm 50 now, and this time we will use portion A